Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about making fishermen. And of course we're talking about fishermen that are trying to catch men, not fish. You see, in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 19, Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when we read about the early lives of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who are four of the disciples of the Lord, we see the process of making fishermen. And today we're going to study the Lord's method of making fishermen in hopes that we can glean what he's going to do in our lives to make us fishermen, what we can do in the lives of others to help them become fishermen. So we're going to be looking in John and Luke and Matthew. Matthew and Mark are very similar here, so we probably won't go over to Mark's gospel. And let's see what's involved. And first of all, we notice this. Making fishermen involves, obviously, knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. You see, in John chapter 1, where we get the early glimpses of what's going on in the life of these future fishermen who are going to catch men, we see this, John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. One of the two which heard John, that's John the Baptist, speak, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is, by interpretation, a stone. Now notice, when Andrew goes to Peter, who is his brother, and tells him that he's found the Messiah, verse 42 says, he brought him to Jesus. You see, you're never going to be a fisher of men if you don't personally know the Lord. In other words, you need to be saved, first of all, if you're ever going to bring somebody else to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that seems kind of strange to you, but perhaps what's happened to you is something similar to what happened to me. You've been listening to a little Christian radio. Perhaps somebody's given you a tract. You're getting excited about this influence that you could have in other people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, but you haven't yet gotten saved yourself. Well, then what you need to do is you need to get saved. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not trying to talk you into something you've already done or out of something that you've already done. Just there are times when people get kind of swept up. They get going to church. They get real excited. There's something going on. They're faithful. They're kind of duty-oriented people. They say, "Sure, I'll go out and I'll participate." And they stepped right over the getting saved. So if you're not saved, if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, if you don't have a personal, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get saved. I know that's a very simple thing, but you need to bow your head and personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I say bow your head. There's no significance to that statement except that you're simply acknowledging you can't save yourself. But it doesn't stop there. You need to be saved, and then you need to know Jesus. You need to know him. I mean, really know him. You need to know him well enough that you can introduce others to him. You see, in John chapter 1, verse 42, although Andrew didn't know him so well, he knew that he was the Messiah, and he knew where he was. And so he went and got Peter and brought him to Jesus. You know, in fishing for men, that's essentially what we're doing, is bringing people to Jesus. Now, I make some point out of this knowing Jesus because of what happened, for instance, to Paul. When Saul, who was later known as Paul, saw Jesus Christ the day that he got saved in Acts chapter 9, you know, he recognized, after he asked him, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Well, okay, now I know him, see. But though Paul had seen him that day, he testified to the Philippians much later that he wanted to know him. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, "that I may know him." Well, so he's talking about a lot more than just recognition. He's talking about a lot more than just knowing him as in the day that you got saved. He's talking about really getting to know him. So in this work of fishing for men, you need to make sure that you're saved, but you need to also make sure that you increase in your knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says it this way, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So what the Lord is saying there is you want to get to know him more and more and better all the time. And frankly, the people who really know Jesus Christ, the ones who spend time with him in prayer, read about him in the Bible, fellowship with him, they make good fishers of men because they're walking with Jesus and they're personally acquainted with Jesus, and it's not a great step for them to take somebody else to Jesus because he's right there with them. So making fishermen involves knowing Jesus, first of all, but then it also involves seeing Jesus' supernatural work in your life. Being a good fisherman, being made into a good fisherman, involves seeing the supernatural work of Jesus in your life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, and notice verses 2 to 7. Jesus is by the lake of Gennesaret, and you're going to notice there's some difference in the account of Luke and the account of Matthew and Mark on what's going on here, and it's evident that these are two different occasions, or substantially different episodes in the same occasion. When Jesus is walking or stood by the lake of Gennesaret, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, so they're not in the ships. And what were they doing? They were washing their nets, just by way of distinguishing the difference in this account and the one in Matthew. In Matthew, they're not washing their nets. James and John are sitting in the ship with their father, and they're mending the net. And Andrew and Peter are casting nets, which is a different kind of net than the net they're washing here. So two different times during the same day, two different episodes. Nevertheless, we can be very well instructed about making fishermen out of what happened in both of these accounts. That one in Luke and that one in Matthew. So here we are in Luke chapter 5, verse 2. Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Watch it. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, or when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that be James and John, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Well, that was quite a harvest. You know what they saw? They saw something supernatural. They saw a supernatural work of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. You see, once you're saved, and once you start getting to know Jesus because you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're beginning to have fellowship with him, you know what happens? You start seeing him work in your life. It's not that he wasn't working in your life before, but now you're very attentive to it. You recognize his supernatural hand. He actually does some things supernatural in your life, and he wants you to see them because he wants to emphasize that there are things going on in your life you cannot do without him. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter 15, "Without me, you can do nothing." This episode of catching this great draft of fish was definitely a God thing in their lives. In other words, part of making fishermen is that the Lord has to give you a testimony of his supernatural involvement in your life. You know, you may go through a health scare and then the Lord delivers you through that, or you go through a health scare and the Lord doesn't deliver you through that, but gives you such an abundance of grace that you testify to his goodness. You may get, you know, face into a calamity, a financial calamity or a marital calamity or some other thing, and the Lord gets you through it and you see God's hand in it, and it's unmistakably God's hand. You're not just glorifying God because that's what you know to do. You're glorifying God because you saw him do something in your life. Now, what you have is a testimony. In other words, when you go to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, it's not just a matter of what the Bible says, although that in itself is good enough, but it's a matter also of what Jesus Christ has done or is doing in your life, and that people can relate to that. All right, so making fishermen involves knowing Jesus and seeing Jesus' supernatural work in your life, but it also involves learning to obey Jesus' command. That is, making fishermen involves you listening to the Lord and then doing what he says. Look back in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. The Lord told them to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Well, you know, after fishing all night and catching nothing, that's not what they wanted to do. And Simon even offers that excuse. "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." There's a colon there. You can just see him pleading his case before the Lord, and the Lord just looking at him and kind of nodding with his head, you know, over the deck of the ship, like, "Just throw it. Just trust me." So he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And he does. But you know something? It's a good thing he did, because Jesus knew what was down there and knew that this was actually the time to catch those fish. You know, Peter had given Jesus Christ a very good reason for not fishing that day. He'd been out all night. They'd already washed the net. He hadn't caught anything. He just listened to a long sermon. I say long sermon, but you can be pretty sure that if Jesus had an audience and he's speaking there on the edge of the shore there in that ship, that these fellows have been listening to that for a long time. And, you know, it's time to call it a day as far as Peter is concerned. But instead of disobeying the Lord, he did what he was told. And I'll tell you something, for you and me, for catching men, if God's going to make us into fishermen, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to get used to following the prompting of the Lord to go after them. I can't tell you how many times, I hate to even admit it, how many times I have felt a prompting, I suppose was the Spirit of God, to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ or to give them a tract and talk myself out of it. I'm not happy to tell you that, but I want you to know that if you think because I'm preaching on the radio and have been pastoring for a long time that temptation hadn't crossed my mind, I want you to understand it has, just like it's crossed your mind. And I've followed my own prompting instead of the Lord's, and it's just not good. So if God's going to make us into fishermen, you know what we have to do? We have to learn to obey Jesus' command. We have to follow the prompting of the Lord to go after them, or we're going to miss the fish. We're going to miss the fish, and we don't need to do that. All right, so making fishermen involves knowing Jesus. I mean, knowing him, really knowing him well enough you can introduce him to somebody else. Seeing Jesus' supernatural work in your life and learning to obey his command. I'll tell you something else making fishermen involves. It involves humbling yourself before God. Turn to Luke chapter 5 and look at verse 8. All right, so they fill both ships with all these fish, right? Well, then in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, this is very important, because when you really know Jesus, and you really know His supernatural work in your life, you know what you know? You know what you really know? You know that He is something and you're nothing. As one preacher says, you get a negative view of yourself. And you also get a negative view of man's ability to do anything that's worthwhile for God. And this is where the megachurch movement really meets its dead end, because their point is to preach positive about men. Their point is to motivate you about things concerning men. Oh, that you're all so special and everybody's so special and so good and so wonderful and so happy and so rich, and you can give me some of that money and all that. You know, it's just a big, it's a pep rally for men. It is. It's very humanistic. And that's why it's all, you see the man and he's dressed a certain way and his hair is styled a certain way and his stage is set a certain way and the lights are set a certain way and the music blares a certain way and the performers perform a certain way and the women that are involved in it are dressed a certain way and all that stuff. It's a big display of the flesh. It's very positive toward men. But in really dealing with the Lord, you can see in making fishermen, you can see in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, that when you see, okay, that obeying God's command and watching His supernatural work in your hand and really knowing Him, you see all that, you fall down at Jesus' feet and you say, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Maybe not in just those words, but you recognize, man, I am nothing in this deal. I am worthless in this deal. It is a privilege to be able to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God would even think to use me to talk to somebody else about the Lord is astonishing. You see, the great men of the Bible had a very negative view of themselves. Jesus said that He was a servant, when in fact He was Lord of all, but He said He was a servant. Job said that He was vile. David said He was a dead dog. David said, "I'm a flea." Paul said that He was the chiefest of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He didn't say was. He said am, of whom I am chief. You know, the defining characteristic of these men I've mentioned, humility toward God. They don't think anything of man. They think everything of God. And if God's going to make us fishermen, that's the way it's got to be. It's all about God, not about us. It humbles us before the Lord. Here's something else. If God, in the process of making fishermen, okay, there's another thing, and that's getting over your fear. In Luke chapter 5, verse 9, he was astonished, Peter was, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, watch it, fear not. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Fear not. And you know something, making fishermen involves getting over your fear. Jesus told His disciples, fear not, because Jesus knew that fear is a great inhibitor to catching men. And it is. I mean, we constantly face the temptation to run from the opportunities to witness because of fear. Oh, you know, we're intimidated because the guy we want to witness to is in a higher rank socially, we imagine, or more on a pedestal, we imagine, or richer on in some of our perception, or some reason, you know. He's too busy, he's too occupied, he'll think me a fool, he doesn't have time, I don't have time, whatever the case may be. Bottom line is that's usually fear. But you know what he said? Fear not. In other words, we need to trust the Lord, just as these disciples had to trust Him about fishing this day. I mean, it may be that we have to trust Him if he's actually calling us into the ministry to make provision for us, because we're getting ready to leave the fishing industry. But you got to get over your fear. And listen, that's part of making fishermen. And the Lord addresses that issue and says, fear not, because He knows that fear is going to be an inhibitor. I'll tell you something else. Making fishermen also involves following Jesus. Look in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and, watch it, followed Him. So fishing for men requires that you follow the Lord's lead in dealing with them. You say, why is that? Because God has to draw them to Jesus. I mean, this idea that you can get into some better program than the next guy has and use that to draw him to Jesus leaves God out of the plan. You're not going to do that because you're not fishing for yourself now. You're fishing for God. You can't catch them if God has not drawn them. And that's for sure. I mean, you can get them to pray, or you can get them to profess, and you could do that all day long. You know, bow with me and say this prayer, or you know, profess that you're a Christian. Now, you can do that. If you're a persuasive person, you know, at all, you can get people to say things and do things to satisfy yourself that they are coming to Jesus. You may know how to deal with people and have a good understanding of human nature and some way to kind of move them around. Well, you'd also be a good salesman, too. But listen, you can't catch men by yourself. Did you hear what the Bible said? Jesus said, "Follow me," and they followed him. You can't catch them by yourself. You've got to be following Jesus Christ. The perfect example is in Luke chapter 5. The disciples fished all night. What did they catch? Nothing. Why? They were fishing by themselves. And that's what you get when you go fishing. But then when they fished when and where Jesus told them to fish, well, the harvest was so big they couldn't handle all the catch. Why? Too big. Too big. Too many fish. You got to follow the Lord. That means you got to pray, you got to get in your Bible, and then you got to get up in the morning and say, "Okay, now, Lord, if you're dealing somewhere and you want me to be involved in this, I'm following you. I'm following you." Okay? Now, there's two other things in this lesson on making fishermen. And this has to do with whether or not the Lord is actually going to get you to fish for men in the full-time ministry. In other words, you may be a car salesman. You may be a fishing guide. You may be a businessman. And the Lord is going to call you. He may call you into the full-time ministry like he did me. Well, then making fishermen involves two other things. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, it involves answering the call. Answering the call in Matthew 4:21, after the Lord had passed by Peter and Andrew, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Listen, there is definitely a call to preach. There definitely is. And if the Lord is going to make you a fisher of men, then you're going to have to answer that call if he calls you. You see, there are men who have been called, but they didn't answer the call. Why? Because they wanted to keep fishing. That's right. Or whatever occupation they were in. I've known people like that. Called to preach, but they didn't want to leave their occupation. Why? They liked it. They wanted to keep doing it. And then they wanted the Lord to use them to catch men, but they still wanted to work on their terms and not on his term. And you know what happens to people that do that? They often use man's techniques rather than God's techniques and God's supernatural power to win them. I mean, I've watched that. They like what they're doing in business. They want to stay in that. They like the money. They like the fast pace. They like the contacts. They're going to use them right there to win them. And sometimes they do. Don't get me wrong. But also they have a lot of their own techniques instead of God's supernatural power. And here's the result. Some of their fish are stuffed. In other words, you've been to a person's house where they caught a great big trout or a great big redfish or whatever, and it's up there mounted on the wall. Well, when you catch stuffed fish, you know what you got? You can see the skin on the wall, but there's nothing inside. In other words, that fish is on display for you down here. When you get to heaven, you're not going to find that fish up there. Why? God's supernatural power wasn't involved. Your persuasion was. All right, if you're going to do this in the full-time ministry, there's one other thing, and that's forsaking all. When Jesus Christ said to Simon and Andrew in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," you know what they did? They left their nets, and they followed him. When he called John and James, you know what they did? They left the ship, and they also left their father, and they followed him. As Luke chapter 5 says, they forsook all and followed him. I mean, they left their nets, their ship, their father. They left everything. And that's the way we need to approach this if God is calling you into the full-time ministry. Jesus doesn't need you to bring anything. He just needs you. He works with you just the way you are, and he makes you a fisherman. He doesn't need your occupation. He doesn't need your family. He doesn't need your connections or any of that stuff that you're involved in. Now, if you're making the transition, you may stay in your occupation until he transitions you into the full-time ministry, in which case then you work yourself out of a job to go into the ministry. I've watched that happen numerous times, and that's a very wise thing. But boy, when the day comes and your occupation is done and you're in the full-time ministry, you don't go back to your occupation. It's done. Why? He just needs you. And this is where some guys have a really hard time. They want to keep all that stuff because they like it, and they like the security of having it, and they want God to use them the way he would use them if they were to leave it all and follow him completely. And that's not ever going to happen. Not ever going to happen. So in making fishermen, we've seen some things from the scripture today. And what we've seen that's involved in making fishermen is this. I mean, if you really want in, here's what it's going to involve. First of all, it's going to start by getting to know Jesus Christ. I mean, really getting to know him. Spending some time with him. So it's more than just a head knowledge. Real salvation with real personal fellowship. And it's looking for his supernatural work in your life as he's building your testimony. And as you're becoming a fisherman, learn to obey his commands when he's commanding you, prompting you to deal with somebody. And then humble yourself before him, because you're the sinner. If he could do this without us, he would. We're really in the way here. Humble yourself before him. Get over your fear and follow him. Follow his promptings, because you want to go where he's drawing men to Christ. And what he'll do is he'll lead you each step of the way to the souls of men for whom he's fishing. And if he calls you, answer the call and let go of anything standing in the way of you not responding fully to his call. And my friend, that's what's involved in making fishermen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.